We got a good-sized crowd here this morning. I feel good up here because I always like it when people are smiling at me. Everybody's smiling at me. You know, I must have combed my hair right or something. I've been thinking about parting it in the middle. What do you think? No? Huh? All right, where was I? Anyway, we're in intercession, and the Lord gave me this word. It's our turn. I said, our turn. I said it two or three times. What do you mean by that? And then Travis was in there praying, and we realized that this country is in a serious situation, very serious situation. And I remember Rick Joyner saying one time that every time this country has ever gotten in a mess, and it has, this is not the first time. If you know anything about history, and I love history, you'll know we've gotten in trouble several times, but two of them before this were very serious. One was in the 1700s and the other was in the 1800s, and now we got one now. And I don't think the average Christian knows how serious a situation we're in. I follow this all the time. I'm 20 years in the Air Force, and I keep tabs on things all the time, what the military's doing. I get intel reports and everything else. It's just something you get into your nature when you've been in the military and you want to keep abreast of what's going on. But we have, I don't know what your politics is, and I don't care what your politics are. But our president is our president, and he is under attack. And he needs your prayers. Our Congress and our Senate need your prayers. Which leads me to this. Two times this country was saved from a mess, and it was because the church intervened. It got up and decided to make a stand. And now we're at that same crossroads again, where we have laid back, we've enjoyed our sitting in the box, and now it's time to get out of the box. We're going to have to make a stand, or we're going to see some big trouble in this country that we've never seen before, we've never experienced. I've experienced it because I've been over in those countries where they have dictators, where they have socialist leaders and communist leaders. I've been in those countries, and I can tell you it's not fun. Even when we're there, we were under a lot of controls ourselves. They were watching us all the time. We're coming into a very dangerous time. Before I came here, I've been here 15 years. I lived in Goldsboro, and I was still an intercessor. I've always been an intercessor. I was an intercessor before I knew I was an intercessor. I lived in this 14x70 mobile home, and I would go up and down the hallway praying in tongues 1 or 2 hours at a time. And I would just get really into it. And I had amazing visions and dreams from doing that. And one time I sat down, well, I'd really got into it this time, and I shut my eyes, and all of a sudden I had a vision before I even could get started. And I saw this stormy sea, and there was a battleship. You know, it's coming straight for me, and it was plowing through the water. And you can see the water swishing off the bow as it comes through, you know. And then all of a sudden, it turned sideways. And out of the middle of the battleship, it said, a name came out like this in front of me. And it said, USS Enterprise. And I said, Lord, I'm Air Force, but I do know something about the Navy. And there's no battleships called the USS Enterprise. They're all aircraft carriers. And when I said that, it was like a zoom camera. The battleship turned transparent, came clear, and then like a zoom lens, we went through the battleship, and on the other side was this humongous aircraft carrier, and the ocean was still, and it rocked just a little bit like this, and there was all these fighter bombers on the deck, parked, ready to go. And I said, Lord, what's this mean? He said, you're a mighty prayer warrior. And if you'll take direction from me and I show you what they're doing in Afghanistan, you will learn how to raise up small churches. And for probably 25 years, that's what I've been doing. And now it's finally come to this one. And we're going to raise this church up because we're in a war. We're in a war for this country and for the country's survival and for the church in this country. And we have to start right here, right where we're planted. If you wondered what you've been, we're supposed to be doing all this time, and you said, man, I've been through everything, I've done things, I've done this, I've done that, and I've been through turmoil and spiritual warfare up the gazoo, what's going on? Well, you're going to find out, because it's this generation that's going to have to stand up, and we're part of it. So I challenge you to come talk to me and see if you can't take some time to go to war for your church, your country, your city, and everything else that's happening right now. I just got one more thing. I heard Trump, President Trump, last night speak in Minneapolis. I think it was Minneapolis. And I've never been very impressed with President Trump. I admit that. And most of the time when he talks, I just felt like he talks like a businessman. I'm too used to polished politicians that know how to lie well. And I've listened to a lot of his speeches, and the one last night went on for over an hour, and it was the most powerful speech I've ever heard from any politician, any president. I mean, he got down to the nitty-gritty, heart to heart, and he spoke about a lot of different things. The thing that made a big impression on me was why he pulled the troops out of the northern Syria. And it touched my heart. If you ever get a chance to listen to that speech, I think it'll probably be on YouTube or somewhere, you need to hear that speech. It was tremendous. That's all I have.
Thank you. Lonnie is carrying something. You can tell he's been in the military, and we need that. We really do need that. There's a, you know, how much is in the scripture about the church being an army, the army of the Lord, the last day army of God? And that's something that I don't think we get as a whole in the church yet, but we're going to. Now, the thing is that we're called to be an army while we stay being a family. And that's almost impossible. Only God can pull that off. It really is. We're called to be a family, but we're called to be an army. And, you know, Paul, even when talking to Timothy, he said, no good soldier gets involved in normal affairs, right? There was a dedication and a commitment. And you can't have that kind of dedication and commitment without having a vision for something. I really appreciate Lonnie. You know, I've gotten to know Lonnie over the last couple years, and he's had a number of visions that have been really powerful where you've really seen him come true, and it's been, you know, I don't question his hearing. So I appreciate him, and I appreciate what he's been doing. You know, Lonnie, just to brag a little bit about Lonnie for a minute, he's the oldest church member here. He's been the one that's been here the longest, and correct me if I'm wrong, and he's just been back there in the back praying faithfully. And, you know, that's what, you know, the Lord showed me in a dream one time. He showed me the power coming, the supernatural power of God coming to the church. But what he showed me in the dream was that, and what he even said in the dream was that it would happen, the kind of Superman type power to the church that we're called to have would happen when people did no longer cared who got the credit for it. And, you know, at the time I had the dream, I cared who got the credit. I did. I didn't want to care who had the credit. I didn't want to care, but I did care. And that's okay. Let's be honest with ourselves. When we see ugliness rise up, let's just be honest with it. Call it out in ourselves. Say, God, I know this is where I should be, but I ain't there. Help me. Help this thing die in me. You know, and so I've been praying for since the really the middle, late 90s for the Lord to absolutely kill selfish ambition in me. Selfish ambition is demonic, and it is a stealer of the glory of God. And who, I mean, God, we're supposed to be in love with him. We want to be John the Baptist, where he's the bridegroom. We're, you know, it's our joy for the bride to be, to go to the bridegroom, not to, you know, not, we're not trying to steal the bride. And, but anyway, Lonnie was back there, been praying for all these years with no, you know, just back there doing his job. And that's what God's called us to. He's called us to not care who's getting the credit. You know, because we're so wrapped up in love with Jesus that all we want is what pleases him. We want him to be lifted up. We want him to have glory. When you're in love with him, when you're in love with Jesus, all I want, if I'm in love with him, is for him to be blessed, for him to be glorified, for him to be lifted up. Now, there's stuff in me that doesn't feel that way, but that's called flesh. And the Bible says we're to crucify our flesh. Got to put that flesh under. Got to put it under. And so, you know, we want to grow into the place to where our pursuit and our passion and our desire is to be in love with him so intensely that all we want is for him to be happy, whatever that is. So we're here to serve his purpose. And I'm telling you, there's nothing that serves his purpose probably like intercession, prayer. I'm not going to get into a lot of details today about what I want to share. I want to continue talking about intercession briefly a little bit. I don't think I'm going to take a lot of time, but I've said that before and I end up lying. I just want to share something real quick. I felt like during the end of worship, and I felt like the Lord pinpointed a few of you, but I think it's something else. I think it's more than just individuals. But the Lord showed me that there was a real need to forgive today. There's people who have been slapped on the other cheek. They've been done wrong. They've been hurt. There's an unforgiveness, an unhealedness, and a wounded that we're not. Scripture says if we see our brothers, if we have a complaint against anyone, forgive them. So even a complaint, we're called to forgive. And I just felt like the Lord wanted to highlight that, and we needed to get that out of our lives. That's a way for the enemy to get into us. You know, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and watching someone else to see them die. It doesn't work that way. You allow unforgiveness, bitterness in your heart, you'll end up being the one that dies. We have to forgive. You have to. It's Christianity 101. Jesus said, if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. That is serious. There's nothing more serious in this life than unforgiveness, because unforgiveness cuts out the grace of God in our lives, because somehow we think, oh, well, I would never hurt nobody. I would never do nothing. I've already hurt Jesus so many times, I can't even keep counting. He has freely washed me, cleansed me, forgiven me. Every time I screw up and I do something I shouldn't do, I just turn to him, say, Lord, I'm sorry. And immediately I'm forgiven, because the Bible promises if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If we receive forgiveness, we have to give it. This is not my message, but the Lord gave me this when I was sitting back there, and I know it's something we have to deal with, okay? So if this is hitting you, do business with the Lord. Pray. One thing I do is I pray for the people I'm struggling with. When you pray for them, you start to get God's heart for that person, and that's something I've done. When I feel any kind of uck from someone, I start praying for that person. If I feel jealousy towards somebody, sometimes we get stuff that hits us. Start praying for the person. Don't give in to what you're feeling. That's the enemy. Now we know the enemy's trying to get us going a particular direction. Start praying for the person. Anyway, that was free. That's what frees us too. You know, it's forgiveness is the key to freedom. You cannot walk in the freedom of God without walking in that. So Lonnie jumped into some things that I think are so important. Guys, this is a time that we're in that we have got to be able to hear what God's saying. And let me give you a big key to hearing God. Don't assume you know what God's thinking. Sometimes we think we know what God's saying, but if we do think that we know what God's saying, we stop asking and sometimes stop listening. And it opens us up to a place to where we're not being sensitive to what the Lord may want to say that may contradict what we thought. God's not us. How many people in the early church do you think would have picked Saul of Tarsus to be the next apostle? I mean, we have the joy of looking back and knowing the story. So we read about Saul thinking, wow, you know, this becomes the Apostle Paul. We see it through the lens of already knowing the end of the story. But what about that early church who's being, Stephen was stoned by a group of Pharisees while Saul was in hearty agreement holding their coats. He went on to persecute the church, and this was the guy that God had picked out to be the next apostle to the church. Do you think anybody could have saw that? Do you think maybe some people could have threw some rocks at him? He doesn't deserve to be the next leader of the church. He's not worthy. He's got some things in his life that ain't right. Do you ever remember God picking out a perfect man other than Jesus throughout the scriptures? There's only one kind of person that God can use, and that's a fallen, messed up creature. That's all of us. Only Jesus was perfect. Only Jesus never sinned. He's only got broken people to work with. Just keep that in mind. And so when we begin to dive into intercession, prayer, listening to God, praying for leaders, for government, for politics, you need to learn to put your opinions and check them at the door and be open to the Lord speaking to you, even if it's contrary to what you think you know. We don't know what God's doing in somebody's life. We don't know how God might turn a Saul into a Paul the next day, and you don't even know it. But if we're only on board with our opinions, then what happens? It shuts you off from being able to receive what God's about to do. Does that make sense? One of the scriptures that I think about, you know, it says, lean not to your own understanding. Right? Lean not, but in all your ways acknowledge God. He will direct your path. Trust in the Lord and lean not into your own understanding. We don't see it all. And that's the most beautiful thing. It's like making decisions. I don't make decisions by myself. I would be an idiot to do so. If you have a major decision in your life, you're an idiot if you make that decision without seeking God. Amen. Because you have access. Now, if you're not a believer, that's one thing. You got to do your best you can. But we got access to God. And he says to don't trust in your own understanding, but acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So I don't know where I'm going to be at in 5 years. I don't know where my family's going to be at. I don't know any of that. So if I'm trying to make decisions based on what I think I know, I'm an idiot. Because I have access to the Father who sees it all, knows it all from the end to the beginning, from the beginning to the end. He knows the whole thing, and he's the only one capable of making a right decision. So to have access to that kind of advice from someone who knows it all and to not seek it is absurd. And that's something I got early on by the grace of God. And if I'm going to buy a car, I'm asking God what he thinks. If I'm going to brush my teeth, I'm sometimes asking God what he thinks. I would rather, if I have to err, I'm going to err on the side of asking too much. Lord, what do you think about this? Lord, what's your heart in this? I think it's very helpful when we go to vote for people. Lord, what do you got to say? The last election, I thought I knew who I was supposed to vote for because I thought I knew who the guy had to be, and I began to seek God. Lord, I know I don't know it all. I know I don't see it all. What are you saying? This is what I think, but what do you think? And I had 3 times the Lord tell me the person I thought was supposed to be president wasn't the person. I will tell you the rest of that story another day, because it is amazing how the Lord spoke to me and confirmed to me what his heart was and how it came about prophetically, and the way he confirmed it was off the chart. And I do want to talk about that at some point. Because here's why. There's a demonic thing that says the church should not speak about politics. That's from the pit of hell. It's the enemy's attempt to get us to not be able to speak into an arena that he wants to control. If we're to be salt and light, how can we do that by not being salt and light? How can you speak the truth in love and not speak? So this demonic spirit that has worked its way into our country to say you can't speak about politics, that's a no-no zone. That's a no-go zone. That is demonic. It's from the pit of hell. Now, what we don't want to do is demonize the enemy, someone that we feel like is going the wrong direction, because God loves all man. Our prayers and our petitions should be for all people. I pray for people that I don't agree with. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you, I did not care for the leadership of Barack Obama. I just didn't. But I love him. I really, even to this day, I really have a love for that man. I pray for him. I want God's best for him. I desire for God to have his way in his life, for his wife and his children to be blessed. And that came because I prayed for him. Whether I liked him or I didn't like him from a political standpoint, I prayed for him because it's right. We're commanded to do so. Okay? When I prayed for him, I began to get a heart for him. Do you know that God had mercy on Nebuchadnezzar, one of the most wicked kings? God used Nebuchadnezzar, and then God had a heart for Nebuchadnezzar, and he ended up humbling him and gave him a chance to get humble. God even had a heart for King Ahab. King Ahab repented after being a murderer and an idolater and turning all of Israel to idols. God had such a heart for that king that when he repented, God repented. And he held back his judgment on Ahab. Now, he ended up judging him because he kept going, but he repented for a season, and God honored that repentance. Isn't that amazing? God has hearts for all men. There is a place that people can get into when they are no longer able to receive repentance. This is heavy. I was not planning to get on this, but I think the Lord's on something. There's a place, and I know there's the Lord has shown me someone in our country that's under the judgment of God. And I saw it in a dream. In the dream, I was very compassionate to this person, and I was trying, even knowing the stuff that had been going on in the dream, I had supernatural understanding about some stuff. And there is someone that's going to be exposed coming very soon for some really deep, 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 deep darkness. But even knowing this in the dream, I still was looking for an opportunity to reach this guy. And I think we got to have that heart. But in the dream, it became, the Lord spoke and he showed me that this man was under the judgment of God, and there was no longer a place for him to repent. Now, I know that this is not a word for the immature, okay? He gave Jezebel time to repent in Revelations. We're giving time to repent. But you know, there's a place when the time's up. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He loves humanity. But there comes a time when time's up. And I was shown this person is under that. And it reminded me of Saul. You remember how Samuel kept praying for Saul? Even after over and over, and the Lord says to him, "Why are you still talking to me about him?" This is Travis paraphrase, but give it a rest. He's under my judgment. Now, we don't think about God like that because God is so good, and he is. He's so loving. Nobody, we couldn't even love if it was not for his love. He is the most loving being in the universe, but he's also a just judge. That's why Jesus came. If it was just about love, then he'd just wipe it all away. But there is a justice to God that there is a justice and a holiness to him that he will not compromise. And so he sent Jesus to cover our sins because the justice must be fulfilled, but the love has to be fulfilled too. Only God could think this up. He's amazing. We love him. So here's what I want to do. I just want to give you a couple scriptures to look at, I just want us to encourage you to move forward in this. Our country is there's some things coming, guys, and I'm saying this as a watchman, as someone who can. I'm trying to prepare us because I believe there's some things coming. I don't know if y'all follow Rick's stuff, but Rick has been talking about something he was showing in December about a civil/revolutionary war coming to the United States. He says it's unavoidable, and I trust Rick, but I still pray about. I don't care who it is. I pray about what they're getting. I don't just trust any, you need to do the same thing. If you hear me say something, you need to pray about it. Don't just take my word. Go to God. Say, "God, is this true?" Okay? I was going through my boxes. I still have boxes from when I moved here 2.5 years ago that I haven't opened, or I'm still not really organized. And I was going through one of them the other day, and I found a dream journal. And so I started looking at it. I had a dream in 2003 that basically was almost identical to Rick's dream. And I couldn't believe it because I had totally forgotten about it. I know that I've been dreaming about a civil war in this for almost my whole adult life. And I think there's multiple levels on this thing. I think there's a spiritual aspect to it. There's always a spiritual aspect to it. But there's a spiritual aspect to it, and there's a physical aspect to it. But in this one dream, the Constitution of the United States had been totally almost annihilated. In my dream, not Rick's dream, my dream. I had forgotten all about this dream, and I saw it, and it just blew me out of the water because it was so in line with what Rick was sharing. But in the dream, I knew that we had to fight for our rights to come back. But that if we would fight, we would win. I knew in the dream we would win. Like it was already determined we would win, which was the same word Rick had. So it really amazed me when I saw this. Guys, y'all know what this is? It's the Constitution of the United States. It's the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. How many people have read this? Be honest, you're in church. A little bit. Okay. How many people can tell you what amendments are what? We got to get to know this. In this dream that I had, we had lost our rights. You know how you lose your rights? You don't know them. How can you fight for something that you don't even know what they are? That's why I've been telling, you know, that's why I preach. Guys, you got to know the Word of God. How do you know what God's promises are to fight for if you don't know what the Word says? You got to know the Word. Not as a works mentality, but as a being equipped. Well, the same's true for our country. This was a founding document that I believe in very much. I believe God gave this. Now, a lot of people say, well, our founding fathers were, you know, there were a lot of things wrong with them. Yeah, there was. But you ever think about this? I had a brother of mine, and I say brother because he is a brother. I love this guy. He is my dear friend and brother, but he has a different perspective than I do. But he was saying, man, what about all the slave trade, all the, you know, he was going after, he's like, I can't, you know, he just didn't want to respect the fathers, the founding fathers. I said, have you never read the scripture that Jesus gave about the wheat and the tares? I said, the scriptures makes it very clear that the Son of Man went and sowed wheat into a field. And his disciples came to him and said, Master, there's tares growing up in your field. Did you not grow good seed? And he said, yes. But an enemy has done this. He said, well, what shall we do? Shall we go tear up the tares? And he said, no, let them grow together. And the reason why he said that, the Bible doesn't explain this, but if you understand wheat and tares, tares and wheat look just like this, just like they look identical when they're immature. You see, you can't tell what a tare is and what a wheat is very well when you're trying to pull them up. If you pull one up, you're going to pull them both up. And so they are allowed to, so the Lord in his wisdom says, let them grow together. And at the time of harvest, go and bundle up the tares together, but put the wheat in the barns. Well, here's what happens. When tares grow up, they stand straight up. Wheat, when it grows, it bows over. There's a humility that takes place. That's how you know, it's even like with us. You know, we have wheats and tares inside of us. You understand that? When I was young, I was arrogant. I stood up straight. I wanted to be the man, but I loved Jesus. It took time and maturing for me to grow. And as I grew, and as I hope as I'm growing, I want to continue to bow, growing in humility before God and man. Awesome. So if we're not, that's how you know if you're planted by the Father. Are you growing in humility? Our country was planted by God. I have no doubt about it. There's not been a human. If you know European history and how it came about and how the people began to flood our country from Europe, there I can't even get into it right now, but you need to know your history. You need to know why people came here. You can't understand why this country was founded the way it is if you don't understand the religious persecution that took place in Europe. It's impossible. We were a release valve off the persecution that was going on in Europe. It's almost like in Revelation when the dragon was spewing out the water to destroy the woman and her offspring in Revelation 12. But it said the earth opened up to swallow the water. Well, what happened then? The earth opened up and all of a sudden people were able to go. We became a around earth, the earth opened up and those persecuted were able to flee away to a wilderness. And what were they carried on? The wings of an eagle. This is Revelation I'm talking about, Book of Revelation. What is our symbol here? It's an eagle. We were carried on eagle's wings to a wilderness where they could be protected for a season. And I believe America is called to be that. We're the first nation to ever have religious freedom. This whole document is based on biblical scriptures. If you read the Federalist Papers, you'll see what they were talking about. So right now, I believe like never before, we need to pray. Jeremiah 29:7 says, pray for Babylon, okay? This is what it says, Jeremiah 29:7. Seek the welfare of the city. This is when the children of Israel were in bondage to Babylon. They were taken away into bondage. This was not their home country, but even in a foreign country that served foreign gods. So even in the worst scenario, this is what God says to the people. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare, or in its well-being you will be well. See, even in the most heathenistic place where God sent them, where they worship other gods, God says, pray for this place, because in praying for it, you're going to be blessed. If you pray for this area. See, even if you don't even like America, you should be praying for America, because in its blessings, you will be blessed. Even if you don't like Donald Trump, you should be praying for Donald Trump, because if he does well, it's good for everybody. And if he wins, we all win. If he loses, we lose. Pray for this man. God turned a Saul into a Paul. So no matter what your opinion is of him, it doesn't matter. Pray for him. Let's look over at 1 Timothy 2:1-4. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There is a religious spirit out there right now. It's a Pharisaical spirit that takes offense at leaders. If you see somebody that does something that you don't like, if you're offended at it, that's the number one sign you got a religious spirit. If you're offended at people's failures, you have a religious spirit. Offense is always a telltale sign of a religious spirit. Religious spirit is those people, I would never do that. I'm better than you. If you're offended, that's what you're walking in. You can't be offended at somebody without thinking you somehow would never do that. I'm better than that. I would never do that. That's what offense is. Now, you can disagree with people's actions, but not do it in a spirit of offense. I'm not offended at someone making a mistake, because I've made thousands of them. I didn't grow up in their shoes. I didn't go through life the way they went through. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're at. We shouldn't be offended at what they're doing, even if it's evilly intended. What we should do is stand against wrong, speak the truth in love, and pray for everyone involved with a true heart of love. If we're offended at people's actions, you have a Pharisaical spirit. And here's what the Pharisaical spirit does. It gets offended, and so therefore it somehow perches this holy platform that I can now speak against this person, because what they've done is unspeakable. So we have to speak out and hate this person. No, you can speak out if you're doing it in the right spirit, being led by the Spirit of God. But are you being led by the Spirit of God, or are you being led by your own offense? There's a lot of people that miss the very person that God raises up to be a redeemer. Many people miss it because of their own offense. Think about Moses. He was raised up in Egypt's palace, was then saw his own people in bondage, and he goes and tries to be a deliverer to them. And one of the Israelites speak out, who do you think you are? Are you a judge between us? They took an offense. There was, how dare you? Who are you? Well, he's Pharaoh's grandson. That's who he is. He can kill. He could kill you right now. Where's this offense coming from? He's trying to help you. So they resisted the very one that God raised up. And if you ever read, this is homework. Go read in the book of Acts where Stephen's speech that he gave right before he was killed to the Pharisees, to all this mob that had surrounded him with their stones to stone him. Read that. When you read it, you're like, man, where is this guy going? He's like repeating all of Israel's history. What is the point? The point was this. Every time God raised up the deliverer, the very people God was trying to deliver would stand up and rise against the very one that he sent to help them. Wow. He said, even to this day, God has raised up Jesus. But he went through Israel's history to show them all along the lines God raised up prophets and men to speak, and women to speak in his name. And there was always a group of people that got offended and began to stand against the very one that God had sent them. So I want to ask you a question today. Can we as a people stop looking at people's imperfections to judge whether or not God sent somebody? How many people would have been offended at David after he slept with Bathsheba and then goes have her husband killed? You would think if anything was a disqualifying factor for loss of leadership, that would have been it. He slept with his servant's wife, got her pregnant, was scared. So he tried to get the guy to come home and sleep with his wife, make it look like it's his kid. But no, that didn't work because this guy was too upright. So he has this righteous man who has a heart for the king and for God. He sends him back to the battle to be killed. And yet God wasn't done with David. Stop throwing stones and start praying. And I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to a country that is so full of accusation that they can't even pray properly, because I can promise you something. You can't pray God's heart if you're angry and offended at someone. You can't. That's the devil that allows anger and offense. Are y'all hearing me? And so there's a time coming right now that we need to stand up and begin to speak the truth in love. And this is what the Lord told me recently. I was asking the Lord about a particular person on Facebook that had challenged me in something I'd posted. And the fact that he was challenging me, I mean, it's okay when we're friends with people, if we have a different point of view, let's talk. I mean, that's cool, you know. But people that you don't even know that well want to jump in and attack your opinion. And you know, it was just like, you don't even really know me that well. And so I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? And immediately a scripture came to me that I'd never thought of in this light. But I think this is going to help y'all, help me. The Lord spoke, you know, when the disciples came to him and he began to talk to him about the Pharisees, he told them very specifically how to handle them. Have you ever know that the Lord told the disciples how to handle them? He said, leave them alone. They're blind guides leading the blind. Y'all remember that passage? Yeah. Leave them alone. They're blind guides leading the blind. Stop trying to wake everybody up to, if there are people that refuse to see truth. You can never lead someone's mind to a place their heart doesn't want to go. Okay? So we don't need this. Our goal is not to try to change people's mind. Our goal is to pray. We need to pray like never before. Pray. Pray, 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 pray. We are in serious times. And here's 2 Chronicles 7:14. Y'all turn over there. Most people quote it. This is kind of what I want to end on. I want us to be, you know, I talked a few weeks ago, I talked about how the need to be alert for prayer, the need to be sober for prayer, the calling that we have to have of being awake spiritually. And then I talked a few weeks ago about being friends with God and how that is the foundation of everything that we're doing, and it is. We have to be vigilant for prayer right now in this season that we're in. There is stuff, and the reason why this was, I felt like the Lord told me to kind of go this direction a little bit because there's stuff coming, guys, and I just want to warn you, there's stuff coming. It's not to be scared. There's glorious stuff coming. It's wonderful. But we're going to go through some stuff. And I want us to be prepared. And the only way we can be prepared is to be spiritually alert, spiritually awake. And I had a dream years and years ago. This was in early 2000s. But in the dream, I had become a ship captain. And I knew, it's too long of a dream to tell you all the details, but basically the gist of it was that the Lord told me that I was going to be coming into leadership in the time of troubled waters, okay? And I could, you know, and I didn't know what that meant, but I knew that the Lord had had a demark, you know, like a, what do you call it, a line in the sand, demarcation, where whenever I had come into some level of leadership in a church, the Lord showed me that would be the demarcation of the time of troubled waters. But the cool thing in the dream was I'm captaining this ship, and the sea is rocking and roaring. I mean, it's like, you know, if you've ever been on a whitewater rapids, you know, I've been on one that was all fives because they let the dam out. I think it was the Golly. I think it was the Golly when they let the dam out, and it's like almost all fives. This would not even compare to that. It was so rough. It was, I mean, this ship was tossing and turning, and I'm driving the ship, and I am having so much fun. I am having a blast, and that's what God's called us to do, is have fun in the midst of this. He wants us to never lose our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you lose your joy, you've lost the battle. Okay? So we have to keep our joy. But we are in a battle, and we're in the battle. The enemy wants to destroy America, and why is that? Because in some ways, America is... God, this is so deep, and I did not intend on going into all this. I was just trying to encourage us to pray. You know, the enemy wants to destroy Israel. He's going to have a tough time doing that without destroying America. America has been a light to the world. It really has been. Now, it's got a lot of darkness in it. There's tares in this field, okay? There's always been tares in this field, but there's always been wheat in this field. And God's original intent is still his original intent. Even if man messes, you know, if the enemy sows tares, that doesn't mean that it's not God's field. It doesn't mean that God didn't have a plan for it. And the enemy wants to destroy this. He can't have a one world order as long as there's an America that's, because America won't, right now, America's not going for that. And, but there are some really dark, dark, dark forces at work in our country. And when I mean dark, I mean people in league, there are people unknowingly in league with Satan in our country. But there's a huge army of people who are knowingly in league with Satan in our country. They're in the occult, and they're at some of the highest positions in our government. And God is judging this stuff. But we have got to pray. If we pray, God's going to save our country. If we pray, God, because here's the promise. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is the promise. This is God's word. It cannot change. He's not a man that he should lie, right? And my people who are called by my name, they humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin. And what's that last part? And will heal their land. Our land needs to be healed. There's so much division. The enemy's trying to get us to fight with everybody. You know, he's trying to bring division so that we fight with one another. Who does that sound like? Trying to get the left to fight with the right, and you know, everybody's trying to fight with something. You know, there's political unrest. There's fights between. I mean, you can name it. You name out any group, there's another group that's fighting with them. That's the devil. But we as a church have authority over that stuff. But it's not being used if we don't pray, and if we don't learn to pray, then the bad is going to happen on our watch. And I can tell you the reason why we're in this place right now is because the church was asleep. They were more concerned about their own welfare, their own interests, than they were the interests of the kingdom. So they fell asleep at the wheel, and the enemy came in while they're sleeping. There were people that were not on watch, that were supposed to be on watch. The church was not on watch, and the enemy just came right in, and there was no one to sound the alarm because we were too asleep. The watchmen are not on their walls. And we have got to get on our walls and begin to sound the trumpet and begin to fight against this stuff by praying, by speaking the truth in love, by voting according to godly principles, and most importantly, by listening to what he's saying. Who are you saying, Lord, to vote for? He'll tell you if you seek him. I sought for over 6 months last election because I thought I knew. The Lord told me it wasn't. I sought for 6 months and I had a prophetic encounter. And then I had the thing confirmed within 30 minutes in the middle of the night. I'm going to tell you that story one day. It's awesome, but I don't want to get into it yet. The Lord will speak if you will let him speak to you. So here's my wrapping up. I'm done. Guys, get a constitution. Learn what it says. I've never had an agenda in my heart to talk about politics or our country and our church. Never. I mean, it's not been like I haven't been like, oh, I got to get to church and talk about it. No. I was burdened this week. I was burdened today. I felt like the Lord was saying something. And I think that one of the ways the enemy has kept us, you know, the reason why we won the Revolutionary War, one of the reasons was because ministers spoke the truth about what was going on from their pulpits. You go check out the history. There's more. You check out the revolutionary history and you find all the ministers that spoke out. The enemy's been trying to hinder that, but you can't know your rights if you don't. This is the main thing you got to know, okay? We got to know this. This is important too. You got to know this. You can't fight for something. You know, people on the news and or politicians, they say, what they're doing is unconstitutional. People crying out, that's unconstitutional. You okay, what part of the Constitution is it breaking? Give me a chapter and verse. What is it? Majority of those people up there never even read this. But we have lost our Constitution. We are not operating the way this was designed to operate, even now. And we have got to regain this. We really do. If the Bible says that the foundation are destroyed, what shall the righteous do? So my encouragement is to start reading this. If you have kids, teach your kids this. Whether they want to learn it or not, it doesn't matter. Teach it to them. And teach them the Word of God. Don't expect children's church on Sunday to be your kids' teacher about God. If you do that, you've lost. You've got to teach your kids about God. You've got to show them the way. We've lost generations because we didn't want to take the time and the effort to do our job, and we've turned it over to someone else to do it, and look at what's happened. We got a whole millennial generation that all they care about is how they feel. They don't understand that how you feel don't matter. So anyway, I'm a little fired up today. Praise the Lord, but I'm smiling. Amen. All right, well, Lord, we just love you. We praise you, Father. Lord, we want your heart. And Lord, we are lifting up, Lord, our country to you. We're lifting up our leaders, Lord. We're lifting up President Trump, Lord. We're lifting up Nancy Pelosi, Lord. We're lifting up Chuck Schumer. We're lifting up, Lord, all of our leaders, Lord, the leaders, the Congress, the House. Lord, we're lifting up Bill Barr in the Attorney General's office. Lord, we're lifting up our whole country, Lord, and we're asking that you would continue to help your people. Lord, we ask that you would bless President Trump. Lord, I've been crying out to you that you would help him grow in humility, grow in grace, that he would feel your presence, that he would grow in a place of love for you, where he would fall head over heels in love with you. Thank you for, Lord, this man that you've put in office. Lord, we're praying for him. Whether we like him, don't like him, agree with him, disagree him, we're praying and asking that you would put your hand on him and that you would help him, that you would help him succeed and that he would have your heart, Lord. And Father, we just pray against every demonic scheme that the enemy's trying to do in this country. We ask that it would be exposed and it would be stopped. And Lord, I've been seeing this from the get-go, and I'm just declaring this right now, Lord, that every Haman will hang on their own gallows in the name of Jesus. every Haman will hang on their own gallows in the name of Jesus. The pit that they dug for others, they will fall in themselves. And Lord, we ask for that you would expose the darkness. We ask that you would expose people who have evil agendas, have demonic agendas to cheat, to lie, to steal, to usurp. Father, we ask that you would remove them. Father, we want them to be saved. Obviously, we want them to turn their hearts to you, to break down and repent, and to cry aloud and turn their hearts to you, Lord. So we ask for that repentance would fall. But Lord, everyone that refuses to bow their knee to you, Lord, we ask that you would remove them and that you would raise up righteous leaders in our country. Lord, raise up righteousness in our land, God. Father, turn back this tide of evil, Lord, that has been in our country, Lord. We come against, Lord, this rebellion, Lord, in our country. We turn against, Lord, this wickedness that we've had in our country. We repent, Lord, personally. We repent for allowing this stuff on our watch. Forgive us, Lord, for not being awake when we should have been awake as in a church. And Lord, I'm asking that you awaken us, that you let us get involved, that we stop not caring about things that matter, that you would give us a heart for everything that's going on, Lord. We were called to, as humanity, to be stewards over the earth. How can we just be busy about our own lives and not care about what's going on in the world? So, Father, awaken us and put a passion in our heart to see your gospel and your kingdom to impact every area of everything in this country. And Lord, in turn, that missionaries can go out from this country and ministers to impact the rest of the nations, Lord. So, Father, we're asking for help. And Lord, I'm asking that a spirit of burning would fall on your people now. Holy Spirit, come and burn on us. Lord, come and arrest our hearts and teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to get filled with a passion for what's on your heart, Lord, that we would sit before you and begin to cry out, Lord, that you would come and help us. Come and help our country, Lord. Come and help your people. Lord, let your spirit of burning fall on us. Lord, let a spirit of prayer and fasting, Lord, fall upon your people again, that we care about what's going on. And we're not going to turn a blind eye, Lord, but we're going to wake up and get involved and use those weapons that you've given us, which are powerful, which are spiritual, for the pulling down of strongholds, Lord. And we're not going to be quiet anymore, but we're going to lift our voice to heaven and say, righteous judge, judge the earth. Righteous judge, stand up and judge the earth according to Luke 18. Rise, God, judge the wickedness in our land. Father, judge the wickedness in our land. Judge abortion in our land, Lord. Judge it, God. Judge the immorality that's going on in our land, Lord. Father, judge the enemy who is trying to blur the lines, the clear lines that you've spelled out, like men and women and women and men and who's what, Lord. What an abomination in your sight, God. Help us, Lord. Father, turn this wickedness back. You are the righteous judge, God, and you said that you would give justice for those that cry to you day and night. If your saints would cry to you day and night, would you delay? So, Lord, we're crying out to you, Lord, and I'm asking for that a grace to fall on us, a grace to pray, a grace to seek your face, a grace to be awake, that we would not slumber spiritually, Lord, that we would be on fire and awake and with our eyes on you, Lord, to see what you're saying so that we can hear what you're saying and do what you're saying. God, give us grace. Give us grace to pray. Lord, we're asking for wisdom to be poured out upon the men that are leading this country. The men and the women, Lord, give them your wisdom from heaven. Lord, I'm asking that you raise up prophets to speak to the highest positions in power. I'm asking for angelic encounters. I'm asking for visitations. I'm asking for dreams. I'm asking for prophetic voices to arise and speak your truth. Lord, raise it up, Lord, in this land. Raise up the prophets of God to speak the truth, to speak the word of the Lord, not what you think, not what you feel, what God thinks. Father, speak what you think and speak it loud, Lord. Guys, I feel like the Lord's here, and if you need to go, go. It's okay, but something's going on. If I feel like there's a spirit of intercession falling, I think we should go with it. If you got to go, go. That's okay, I understand. Lord, there's been gates that have been opened in this country, demonic gates. And Lord, we're asking that they be shut. Lord, I ask that every witchcraft, every demonic gate of hell would be broken, would be shut. At those access points where the enemy's been able to flood our land with evil, Lord, we ask that those things be shut. Lord, we ask that you raise up strategy and give direction to the men that are called to shut those gates, men and women, Lord, that are called to shut the gates of hell over this land.
If there's someone feeling something on them that they want to pray, just let me know. Raise your hand. Feeling a burden or something.
Father, I pray for repentance, true repentance. God, I pray for repentance in my own life, God, that I haven't stood on the wall, that I haven't prayed for my country, for my nation, for my leaders. And Lord, I repent on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ here in America. God, we come to you, Lord, we repent for all that we have not done, Father God, because we have not done our part. So God, I pray right now, and I pray and repent on behalf of the church that you have raised up in this country. And God, I pray from this day forward, Lord, that we would see the need, that we would see, Lord, that we would hear the call and we would obey. And Father God, I pray from this day forward that prayer and standing for this country, Father God, and standing up for what is right and for your kingdom to come from heaven to earth, Lord, would be our greatest priority, our greatest desire, Father God. And Lord Jesus, on behalf of the church, we stand in agreement that we have failed and we have repented. But Father God, from this day forth, we are hearing the call and we're going, Father God, for what you're going for, Lord. We're repenting and, Lord, we're turning from our wicked ways. And we as a church, Father God, have not set the example. But from this day forward, Lord, we rise up and we call the church blessed. And Father God, we ask for your grace to come on our body of Christ in this church. God, we pray, Lord, as we repent, that a power will come to us individually and we'll come back to the church, Father God. And we'll be all you've called us to be. And we'll listen and hear your voice. We'll hear your heart. And we'll be like Jesus on the earth, Lord. And we'll only do what our Father tells us to do, Father. In Jesus' name.
I heard the scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And when I went out the door earlier, and I came back in, I heard, there's nothing to it but to do it. And when I came back in, and I sat down, and Travis started talking again about how that we need to shut the doors that have been opened. I heard it again. There's nothing to it but to do it. And so I feel led to just pray about that. Lord, I just come to you and first of all, I give you thanks for all your goodness. Because, Lord, you are worthy of all of our praise. On our good days and on our bad days, when we don't feel like that we're worthy. But Lord, all you are asking is, Lord, is a willing vessel. And so, Lord God, I just thank you that you gave me breath this morning, Lord, because you didn't have to do that. But I thank you, God. And Lord God, I just thank you for each and every person that is in this building, that's in this room, Lord, that is placed in our lives. But God, I just ask you, Lord, to touch the leaders, Lord of America. Lord, that you would touch the leaders in Congress and state. Lord, that you would touch the president. Lord, and that anything, any door that has been opened in the spiritual realm that was not supposed to be opened, Lord God, we ask you to shut it. First of all, we ask your forgiveness as a church for not stepping up to where we should have stepped up to. And But Lord God, we ask you to shut that door that needs to be shut, Father God, because you said, Lord, that is nothing to it but to do it. Whatever is bound on earth, Lord, shall be bound in heaven. And whatever is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so, Lord God, we just ask you, Lord, right now to just bind it up, Lord. Lord, to shut those doors that are not supposed to be open in the spiritual realm. And Lord God, we just ask you to loose your Holy Spirit all up in the White House, the Congress, the state, Lord, in every home of America. Lord God, we just ask that your holy presence, Lord, to dwell. And Lord God, we repent as a nation, Lord. It is one nation under God. And Lord God, we just thank you, Father God, that we are a people of you. And Lord God, we just thank you. And we just ask you, Father God, to forgive us. Lord, forgive us for not putting you first. Lord, forgive me for not putting you first every day. And Lord God, we just thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. We thank you, Father, that you are asking for a willing vessel. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for your grace.
The Lord gave me a word as I was sitting here before the service ever started, and I thought it was just for you, Travis, not knowing you were pastor, just the gentleman behind me, and you were standing behind me at that time. But then as I'm sitting here, he said, no, it's for you as leader of this body, but it's for this church as his body, that he said that you are his fire starters. He's calling you his fire starters, and you are going to be a light in the darkness. He's igniting you with a new passion, with a new fire for him. He is rekindling you and turning you into a bonfire. So there's no more kindling. There's no more small little sitting by a campfire. It is a bonfire. And he said that you are going to light the way. He's going to use you, this body. You know, you're not the biggest church in town. It doesn't matter. You know, God used 12. He's using this church, this body, to ignite your community, to ignite your city, your community, your state, and this country. And this country. And he's saying he has brought you here for a time such as this. And he's calling you forth.
Amen. That's, thank you.
Father God, I don't feel very brave. I don't feel very courageous when I think about the different levels of confronting the enemy at times, Father. And it's so easy to feel burdened and overwhelmed, Father. And I know that you didn't call us to have to bear those burdens alone, Father. But you are enough. You've called us to have a heart to be able to bring these things to you, so because you're the one that can do something about it. And Father, I just want to echo just how about the doors that have been opened, Father, under our watch, Lord, that should never have been opened, Father. And I just feel a burden about that in particular, Lord, because there are so many areas in our politics don't happen without people. And Lord, it starts with us individually. And so, Father, I just pray into all of our lives individually in the church and the areas of our lives, Father, where we have taken the bait of our culture, of the shiny things instead of the best things, Father. I just feel like our culture I just pray into those areas, Father, where you're calling us to be set apart. I just ask for what that looks like, a fire to follow you into something outside of our own entertainment or things that just are away from, not that you didn't design pleasure, Father, but just in a way that honors and glorifies you. I love what Travis said, that God loves football. Just bring him to the game. And I just think about how many things that we actually put in these places of idolatry, Father, that have no room as followers of Jesus Christ, Father. And so I just pray in specifically into those areas that are so hard to pray for, that the witchcraft that we as a body of Christ even have allowed because it's culturally acceptable. And it's a big, it's in our entertainment, it's in what we watch, it's in our celebrations, it's in all sorts of things, Father. But I just pray, Lord, that your spirit would fall, that in each of our lives that you would reveal whatever we've been praying about, darkness would be revealed. Father, I pray that individually in the body of Christ, reveal within us what has no business being there, Father, that you may be able to fill us fully, that we may be free to be your vessels where you've called us to be. Let nothing get in the way anymore, Father, of our prayers to you, of our petitions to you, of your spirit, Father. Father, we want to love as you have loved us, Father, but we have to be changed into your image, Lord. So take anything that is in us, in this body of Christ, that does not reflect you, Father, and remove it and replace it with your fullness. Father, forgive us, Father, for our idolatry. Father, we want more of you, which means less of us and less of all this other stuff, Father, that has no business being there. Lord, I'm excited because you are the one that puts these things on our hearts to come to you and to ask you for them, that you may pour out richly upon us, Father, because you have something amazing in store. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for being our rescue and our redeemer, not just of us individually, but that we can come to our country and ask for that sort of healing. In the name of Jesus.
You know how you can spot a true prophet of God? I've had a lot of words prophesied of a man. 90% of them have never come true. Maybe it's my fault. But there's a prophet. It's on the television. What's that guy's name? Clement. Have you heard of him? Have you seen his video? Go to YouTube this afternoon tonight. He prophesied Donald Trump would win the presidency 9 years ago. 2007. Before Trump even thought about it. He prophesied it. And he also said Trump would win the second term. I know it's political, brother.
No, it's okay. Guys, just while she was praying, I saw something. I just want to encourage you. I saw us lifting dumbbells like this, and I knew what the Lord was saying. This is your lifting up muscle. You got to lift up. The Lord's strength, he's wanting us to work, start to learn. You don't have to feel like you got to dive in to be able to lift 400 pounds. Just start exercising your muscle of intercession, of lifting things up. Just start. Don't feel a weight of like a legalistic, like, but just start learning to exercise it a little more and a little more and a little more. And before you know it, you'll be praying all the time and you won't even be thinking about it. Okay, so don't let it become a legalistic thing on you, but just we're exercising. We're beginning to exercise that muscle of intercession. Does that make sense?
On that note, Joel and I, like Joel's my husband, about 3 weeks ago, I had this, I'm not sure exactly what it is, about prayer and about how, you know, we can walk around with, we can watch the news, we can feel burdened about it, and walk around with it. And all of a sudden I start thinking about our phones. I know this is weird, but your cell phone, what happens when you have too much stuff on it? Can you utilize, what happens to all the other functions on it? You can't, those functions don't work very well. But we have the cloud. The whole purpose is to upload all of that so that your phone works well. And I started thinking about how God did design us to lean into the darkness, to be able to receive all this, but we were never meant to carry it all because we wouldn't function well. We wouldn't be available to receive more. We're to receive it and lift it up, receive it and lift it up so that we can remain open to whatever else he has to bring in. Technology.
Amen. Amen. Amen, guys. Well, listen, we could go on forever, and there may be a service where we do. I told y'all I don't want to play church. I'm here to experience God. And whatever God's doing, let's do it. I don't ever want to hold you guys up from a football game until God says hold you up from a football game. Anyway, guys, let this just stay on you. Just keep praying throughout the week, and let's come back. We got home group.